could ever put a numerical value on, so much so that this scripture lesson today would say that it would be more numerable than the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. And you know, Abraham always, no matter what was going on, he had I believe, a desire to serve God. And I believe he had a very close relationship with God. I believe that he knew that God would provide for him. You know, God told Abraham, and Abraham and Sarah, if you know anything about them, you know that they were very up in age when the Lord told them, you're going to have children at some point in their lives. They had never been able to have a child. And so the Lord tells Abraham, or Abram at the time, he says, I'm going to give you a child. And I want you to know, maybe Abraham thought, well, you foolish thing, there's no way, I'm too old now to have a child. But you know, God's promises stand. And when God promises things, God always provides. And so he tells Abraham and he tells Sarah, I'm going to provide for you this child. Now, being humans, Abraham steps out, him and Sarah, they begin to conjure up this idea that they know better than God does. And God wasn't working fast enough for them. God had promised Abraham and some time had passed and still there was no child. So Sarah sends her handmaiden Hagar to lay with Abraham and conceive this child. Now this child that is conceived out of this union was named Ishmael. And if you remember, this starts a very big thing for the future of our world. A lot of the fighting and a lot of the things that take place in the Middle East are because of one man's decision to turn away from God and not follow Him when God asked him to. So he stepped out and did his own thing. Abraham still, through all of this, knew that God would provide for him. And you can disagree with me or agree with me or not, but I don't believe that Ishmael was the son that God was going to provide Abraham with. I believe the son that Abraham was to have was a little boy named Isaac. And I believe Isaac was the one that God promised him. And in these verses of Scripture that I have this morning, Abraham almost lost Isaac. But he knew that God would provide. You think about this morning, if God has ever told you something and then thought you were going to have to lose it. Have you ever been told something and then in a moment's notice it's snatched away from you and you begin to wonder why it's taken away? But God always provides for His people, and He's provided in my life so very many times that I can't even begin to count how good that He's been. I'm going to ask you this morning to take your Isaacs to the altar and lay them there and let God provide. I want to read these verses of Scripture this morning for you. 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, first chapter, first verse. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son and thine only son, Isaac. You see, he mentions the only son, Isaac. And he says, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son,
God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son. And he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his son and took the knife to slay his son. It says, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, Jireh, as it is said to thee to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I want to paint this small picture for you this morning, if God will be our helper. You just imagine taking maybe your only child and God saying, you take this child and you sacrifice it for me. Do you realize what a burnt offering is? What takes place when you have to sacrifice something? It's got to be the best. In this day and time, the offerings that they gave were the best thing that they had to offer. In this case, the best thing that Abraham had was his son Isaac. And so Isaac was the one that must be sent. He must be the offering. And I've often thought what Abraham must have thought. God must have really wanted to find something out about Abraham. I believe here in these verses of Scripture we see a very clear act of obedience for a man who loved God. Even in a time when it looked like God didn't love him very much, it looked like God was taking away the promise, he knew that God loved him. And so I want you to imagine the Lord speaking to Abraham and saying, you take your son and you go up to the mountain which I tell you and you sacrifice him. You take him like a burnt offering would, and you think about what Isaac told his dad there. He said, where is the burnt offering? And the only thing that Abraham could tell Isaac was, the Lord will provide. A lot of times today, we believe in our minds and our hearts, very superficially, that God will truly provide. I've always thought that anything that I needed, God would provide for me. I've always known that I've had someone on my side that no matter what, God would be there. Because God provides. That's what God is. He's a provider, a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Abraham diligently sought after Him. I just want you to imagine getting on this journey. Abraham grabs up Isaac and he begins to take him. And maybe the whole journey there, Abraham's thinking, how am I going to be able to offer up my only son? How can I take this child whom I love and offer it for a sacrifice? But he loved God more. He loved that son. But he loved God more, and he loved what God was going to do more. Because he knew, God will provide for me. If this is what God wants, then God gets what he wants. So you imagine getting the items ready for this burnt offering. Gets it all together and they go up into this mountain and it says, Abraham built an altar. And I guess he had the standard things to build this altar out of. Then Isaac asked him, where's the burnt offering? I can just imagine the emotion that must have been there when Abraham looked at his child and he said, God will provide. Abraham believed that. I don't believe he would have told him if he didn't. I believe he knew that no matter what took place there, that it would all be all right. Have you ever had those moments in your life where you didn't know? You knew that God was there and you knew that God was with you, but you knew that something was going to take place. I believe that we're at a place here at Mount Calvary where God is going to do something. I believe that God is going to provide our every need. He tells us that He'll supply that. But are we like Abraham this morning? Are we willing to lay our Isaacs on the altar and obey God and do whatever that He lay upon our hearts and say, Lord, I'm here. You know, Isaac was, I guess he was probably Abraham's apple of his own eye. Oh, that son that he had longed for, he finally got it. He finally had the son and God was taking him away. He had to lay him on the altar. He gets to the altar and I've often pictured Abraham raising the knife just about ready to take his life. Just about ready to say, God, He's in your hands. God, this is in your hands now. Do we do that? Do we take things and place it in God's hands and then know that God's going to be there? I don't know that I do often enough, but I know that God provides. And you think at that moment, I don't know how long Abraham stood over Isaac, but I can't imagine that he had a real long time. I believe he was either going to have to do what God wanted him to do or back out. And he's ready to do it. How many of you all could take something such as your child, lay it on the altar and say, Lord, it's yours. If that's what you want, God, it's yours. You take it, you have it, it's yours. But Lord, I love you and I'm willing. That's a hard lesson learned. But Abraham learned it really quickly. But you know the best thing about it? Abraham didn't have to lose his child. But you know what he had to do? He had to be willing to lose that child. I read about a man over in the New Testament. He was the rich young ruler. I know you've read about him. He asked the Lord, he said, what have I got to do to be saved? What is this about? What have I got to do to make sure and know that I'm saved? He said, keep the commandments. He said, this I've done since my youth. I've done all of those things. Number one, God knew he was a liar right then. Because no man could keep those commandments perfectly. He knew that. So Jesus, being who that He is, He went on a little further and He said, okay, good for you. This is where He knew He was going to get Him. You sell everything that you've got and you follow Me. What does the Bible tell us? It says that He went away sad, not willing to give it all up. I've come to a place in my life that I'm willing to give everything up to serve God. You know, there's a time and a place in our lives when we have to become sold out for God and be willing to give everything up in order to see God work in our lives. You know, I know it's not a very far move, but leaving my hometown, leaving my family behind to pastor this church and to love this church, it's been hard. But you know what I do know? I know that God provides. I know that at the end of myself, God has always provided every need. He's never left me hungry. Been down the road a lot and I've never been left on the side of it to serve Him. Because God provides. And the Isaac that I have to lay before you this morning is myself. I would say if we were going to get Isaacs and lay them up here, we'd have to bring ourselves. A lot of times, we're what stand in the way of serving God. Isaac was just a mini Abraham. But he was willing to lay it down so that God would be able. You know that God is able? Do you believe this morning that God is able? I believe that we live in a world today that doesn't believe that our God is able anymore. We live in a world today where we believe that everything else matters but God. And God's not able. We put our faith and our trust in men. But the Bible says, for we are ought to obey God rather than men. What does that mean, preacher? It means knowing that God is able. It means knowing that as the song that we sing, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Stephen obeyed God rather than me, and Stephen was a deacon of the church there. He's been accused of being a preacher, but Stephen was a deacon. You read over in Acts about him being one of the seven Spirit-filled men. Stephen. And God gave Stephen utterance to speak to those people. And he came out with, "Ye stiff-necked and stubborn people." And they stoned him. But at the end of it, you know what God did? He rolled back the heavens and he allowed Stephen to look up and say, "I see Jesus." Does God not provide? Did God not provide for Daniel in the lion's den? How many of you have ever been in a lion's den? Physically or literally? I've never been in one literally. But I'm going to tell you real quick. You hop in a lion's den with one that's very hungry, and you're going to be its dinner. You'll be Sunday brunch for some lion. And no doubt, old Daniel gets over there and they say, "You've got to give up praying to God. You've got to give it all up." You know what Daniel did? Went back to his house, raised them windows. He got out on his face and he prayed to God. Because he knew that God would provide for him. He knew that God would be with him. No matter what came his way, God would provide. And God provided. They toss him over in the lion's den. You know what God does to that old lion? Shuts his mouth. Old King Nebuchadnezzar, why? All night long he agonized over this. And I believe the first thing in the morning he ran over there. And you know what old Daniel's told the king? He said, "Oh king, live forever." Oh king, live forever! Daniel was alive! Because God provided. Read some scripture over the New Testament where Jesus was talking to some Pharisees. And he was talking to them about salvation and what they've got to do. About their reality about being saved. You know, Pharisees believed that they were people that should be saved because they were descendants of Adam or Abraham. He told them, he said, "Don't you think for a moment that Abraham is the one that's going to get you there." He says, "For I am able. I am able. I'm not capable. I'm able to raise up these stones as children of Abraham. I'm able to do that." If God's able to do that, isn't He able to provide for us? I read a lot of scriptures where God provided for people in their time of need. I preached a sermon here a few months ago, and I don't know why this just came back to me. Do you remember "Welcome to the Mount Calvary Bakery"? The lady who had just a little meal and just a little oil. And God took that and He provided for her. We look around today in our churches and we say, "God's not providing like He once did." Is God not able? He's able. My God is able to take the stars and hang them in the sky. He's able to take the water and part it. He's able to make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to talk, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to talk. Read about those miracles and know that God is still able because God still provides. I'm glad that my God provides for me. I'm thankful that one night on an old altar of prayer, God provided me with something that would last forever. You read about a woman over in the New Testament. She had kind of an issue with the way she lived her life. She went to the well one day. She was going to get some water. But she had to go in the middle of the day when nobody else was around. Because nobody wanted anything to do with the Samaritan woman. They were the persona non grata of that time. Don't want anything to do with the Samaritans. She'd been married multiple times. Nobody wanted anything to do with her. Except a man named Jesus. Jesus walks up and begins to talk with this Samaritan lady. And it almost dumbfounds her that somebody wants anything to do with her. It sounds like she may have been known around town.
people might have said, I don't know how many of you read, we talked about literature this morning in Sunday school. One of my favorite stories from a long ago was the Scarlet Letter. Nobody wanted anything to do with the lady with the scarlet letter. And nobody wanted anything to do with this lady except Jesus. And she begins to ask, and he begins to talk about water. And she thinks that he's talking about the water from the well that's there before, in front of them. And God says, no. If you had asked of me, I would have given you living water. I would have provided for you. He says that we'd never be thirsty again. Over in Isaiah, the Bible says, come, ye that are poor, come, ye that are needy. All that thirst, all that are hungry, and I will provide for you. The Bible tells us that He loves the sparrow. How much more than He loves us? Do you realize we read about a place in Genesis over in the very first part? Well, this man, this being called God, He took nothing and created everything. I don't understand it all. Scientists have been trying for years to get me to understand it, and they don't have a bit more idea of it than I know any about it. But this is what I do know. I know that God created it. He took 6 days to do it, and on the seventh day He rested. And you want to know what the best part about all of it is? He did it perfectly. God provided. He provided everything that we needed. Shelter. There's a way that we can have shelter. There was things that we would have to eat, to drink, to live and go and do. God provided those things. I was driving down the road this morning, and I like my short commute to church on Sunday morning now. But as I got in the car, I said, you know, this is God's car. You say, preacher, you signed for it. You're right, I did. But don't you think God is able to provide us what we need? He's able to provide our every need. It's not always what we want, but it's what we need. Do you think Abraham wanted to take Isaac before him, lay him on an old altar, sacrifice him, and then burn him? No. But you know what he was willing to do? To give up whatever that he had to make sure that God was pleased. God is able. The first sermon that I ever preached from behind this book board was, He is alive. I believe more today that He's alive. We don't serve a dead God. He's not a God that laid in a grave and you can go by and look at Him. You go by over there in Jerusalem and you know what you're going to see? An empty tomb. My God's not there. He's in heaven being an active God for us. He's a God that works in our lives. I've witnessed in the Scriptures many times where He's changed people's everyday doings and beings. I love reading about Saul and his transition to Paul. He provided for Paul. Paul had an issue. If you read over in some of his writings, he said that he had a thorn in his side. I don't necessarily think it was an actual thorn that was stuck in his side, but I do believe that Paul had some issue that he believed hindered him somewhat in his work toward God. I believe that it might have been his eyesight. I can't clarify that. But you know what God told him when he began to pray and ask God to remove it? He said He sought Him thrice or three times to remove that thorn. And you know what God did? You know what He told him? He said, My grace is sufficient for you. Is God's grace not sufficient for us? Now, I'm going to say this morning, Abraham may have had to offer that sacrifice. The commentary that I have says that Abraham knew when he got up there that he was not going to have to sacrifice Isaac. I don't know that, but what I do know is he was willing to do it if that's what it took. Are we willing to bring our Isaacs to this altar? Are we willing? As a church, are we willing to bring our Isaacs to the altar? To serve God and be willing to know that God's going to provide for us. I love this church more than you can ever imagine. But God loves it more than I do.
And He will provide for us. He's not going to leave us. I'm going to read a verse of Scripture in just a few moments. One of my very favorites. If I had to pick out the favorite, it would be it. Because it is something that I go to almost every day and cling to, knowing that God is with me. In the deepest, darkest times of my life, He's there. I want to read with you for just a moment. I'm going to try to close in just a few moments of time. Turn with me to the 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah. 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I want you all to read it. If you have a pen, put a star by it. Underline it. Highlight it. Mark it. Read it. If you don't read your Bible any other time of the week, and I encourage you to do so, find verses that comfort you and that you love and make you know that God is in your life. And you read those. This is mine. This is my Scripture. And you say, preacher, He wrote it to Isaiah. He gave it to Isaiah. But I believe in His foreknowledge, He knew there'd be a little boy that get saved one night on an old altar. And someday He'd call him to preach. I didn't know it. Someday He'd call him to preach. And then He'd call him to pastor in a place called Nashville, Tennessee. So I've heard someone recently say it was turning into the Sin City of the South. I don't know that that's necessarily true. Last night as I laid in bed, I heard sirens going by all night. And as I laid there, I thought, you know, there's people that I can't help. There's people that I can't reach. I'm limited in a lot of things that I can do. But my God is able. 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah, 10th verse. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. My God is able to provide for me." He's able to provide for you. If you're lost, He wants to provide you with salvation. But if you're saved by the grace of God, He wants to provide for you. If He's able to provide a sacrifice for Abraham, He's able to take Daniel and that lion's den, close his mouth. He's able to take whatever that I have and whatever that you have and provide. I'm convinced today that my God is able. And as I laid there and I heard those sirens going by, and I don't know who they were and I'll never know, but I prayed for them. And I said, "Lord, whatever the situation is, Lord, whatever is happening with those people, Lord, You help them." And I said, "Lord, as long as You leave me in Nashville, You please let me be a light to just one person. And it would be worth every mile that I've traveled, worth every dime that I've spent, worth every hour that I've stayed up late trying to search the Scripture so that I could provide a sermon for this church that God would ordain with His Holy Spirit. Because God is able. He's able for you. He loves you." The world today wants to paint a picture that God is some person in the sky that likes to bully people and be mean. But you know the reason that bad things happen is because of sin. My God is able to turn all of that around. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And at the end of it, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Jehovah Jireh, my God, will provide. He's going to provide. I believe that. That's my message this morning. May God help you. May God bless Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. This next week, it'll be a year that I've officially been here as this pastor of this church. It's been the greatest year of my life. God's provided. And He's going to continue. If I didn't believe that, I'd leave today and I wouldn't come back. If I didn't believe God didn't have something special for Mount Calvary Church, I would leave today and I wouldn't come back. But I believe that God loves this place. And I believe He's going to do some spectacular things here. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I believe God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. May God bless you. Is our prayer while we stand, while we sing.